Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Well, for those who might have missed the announcement at the beginning of service, Pastor Rickard had surgery for severely blocked carotid artery this week at Cooper Hospital, and he's home recuperating now, and we pray for his healing and for peace and comfort for him and for Jan. Well, I've supplied here a few times in the past during the summer. It's been a while. And it always seems to fall in the middle of one of Pastor Rickard's sermon series. So, of course, this is no different. This summer series is entitled The Whole Counsel of God. And that phrase, the whole counsel of God, comes from the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God," or some translations say the whole purpose of God. Paul has told them the whole truth, all about God, the things that are easy, about God's love, how God loves us, and the difficult things. No sugarcoating the truth. In this series, Pastor Rickard is covering the major roles or functions of God. And so far you've heard about God the preacher and God the teacher. And today's topic is God the comforter, using two passages from the book of Lamentations. Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is probably not your go-to book for inspiration. I can tell you it's not mine. If I need to be lifted up, I go to Philippians or maybe some of the Psalms, but not usually Lamentations. Lamentations follows the book of Jeremiah in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's a tiny book. Jeremiah was a prophet who served the Lord during the years before, leading up to and then during the fall of Judah and Jerusalem to Babylon. Jeremiah tried to weasel out of his calling to be a prophet. He said to God, "Oh, I'm too young and I don't know how to speak." But God would have nothing of that. And God said, "Gird up your loins and get going." And so Jeremiah did. And he suffered much for his devotion to God and to speaking God's truth. His scribe Baruch wrote everything down for Jeremiah. So Lamentations, which is right after the fall, it may have been written by Jeremiah and Baruch or by someone else. Scholars don't quite agree. But the book of Lamentations has some treasures for us that reveal God as comforter in the midst of the worst of times. And it was the worst of times for Jerusalem and Judea. They had been conquered by the Babylonians, who had taken away the leaders and a lot of the people. Families were broken up. Some of the residents remained, but the land was desolate. That first passage from today's reading gives us a glimpse of the devastation and the resulting sorrow and grief. The book of Lamentations is actually five poems, and we've lost a lot of the poetic beauty in the translation from Hebrew into English, but it hasn't lost the raw emotion. Terrible things have happened to the people and to their city. Loved ones, including children, are gone, dead or sent into exile. Buildings have been demolished. The temple has been desecrated. Homes and farms gone, ravaged. This beautiful land is in ruins. Things will never be as they were. And this is all because of the terrible sins of the leaders and the people. The leaders have led them to worship other gods, to even sacrifice their children to fertility gods. Terrible things. Jeremiah has tried to tell them. He's warned them over and over again. In fact, Jeremiah was persecuted. He was run out of town. He was beaten up. He was thrown down into a cistern and left to die. And someone rescued him. Now, at first glance, when we look at this passage, we might be reminded of Job and Job's suffering and Job's questioning of God. But Job was innocent. He was an upstanding man and he hadn't committed any sin that caused his suffering. And yet even the downfall of Judea and Jerusalem caused injury to the innocent as well as to the guilty. And I think we all have things in our lives that cause us to lament. 20 years ago this month, my younger son was killed in a car crash. He was 15, and the moment that we received the news is forever etched in my mind. And it was the beginning of many lamentations. I served as a hospice and hospital chaplain for many years, and so many times I heard people who were facing tough things cry out to God or about God. They would ask, "Why, God? Why is this happening to me or to my loved one?" And often people would say, "I know I shouldn't say this, but why, God? Why did God let this happen?" And yet it's a question that we sometimes have in our hearts, and of course there is no hiding our hearts from God. God knows our hearts, the very depths of our soul. And God knows that we're suffering. And God can take our questions. It's okay if we ask those questions or if we lament, because we need to lament. We need to tell our story. And even when we are the cause of our own suffering, the thing is, God is still there for us. Sometimes we can point to the cause of our suffering. A drunk crashed into our loved one. A bullet on a battlefield found its mark. Addiction ensnared a loved one. And yet we still wonder why. Why them? Why us? Why? And the loss hurts. It hurts no matter what the cause. There is pain so deep it takes away your breath and your hope and your strength. And we might find that we are even angry with God or disappointed or confused. And we need to lament. We need to tell our story over and over sometimes. And sometimes people get tired of it and wish that we would move on, get over it, and get back to the way we were. And the truth is, when we suffer devastating loss, we never really get over it. We learn how to cope. We find a new way of normal. We rebuild. We might become more appreciative of the people and the blessings that we have in our lives, but we are never the same. And Jerusalem was never the same. Emotions can run like a roller coaster, angry, sad, bargaining, accepting, and we sail from one emotion to another, and sometimes we're kind of in a sea of swirling emotions all at once. But even in the midst of that, we find that God is still there. Even if we said awful things to God, even if we've sinned so deeply, even if we've peppered God with a barrage of questions and accusations, God is still there. The writer of Lamentations takes us there from lament to comfort. And we find that comfort in the second part of today's reading. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Think about that when we're singing our closing hymn today. When we surrender to God's love and care, we find comfort in unexpected places. We may find help in navigating our grief, our loss. Help is out there. We may find peace. For me, part of coming to terms with my grief was the realization that I wasn't going to get answers to some of my questions, at least not in this life. Finding peace meant trusting that my son was in God's care now. And so was I. God was my comforter and still is. God has put us humans into a world where sometimes bad things happen to good people and bad people alike. And we don't know why. Being a Christian doesn't exempt us from suffering and death. And yet we have amazing promises and gifts from God. And we have a God who suffered for us, who went to the cross for us, for our sins. He went to the cross and suffered and died and then conquered death so that we might be forgiven and live forever with him in this world and the next. We have the blessings of God, our Comforter, our Teacher, our Preacher, and our Savior. Sometime in your Bible reading, take a little time to read and ponder the five chapters of the little book called Lamentations. Those lamentations might stir your soul and give voice to your own troubles and your own feelings. And those words of comfort and reassurance just might be the good news that you need to hear. Thanks be to God. Amen.